Well, those of you who were here last week heard a lot about weeds and wheat. And this week, apparently, Jesus is thinking a lot about weeds because now he's talking about mustard seeds, which in mustard is just like a weed. You got to start thinking about it like a knapweed. You know, it might have something of value. I don't know. But you don't really want to plant it in your garden. And mustard is kind of like that. So last week, the wheat was planted by enemies. This week, the kingdom of God is like a guy who puts a mustard seed in his own garden. Why would he do such a thing? Mustard isn't very helpful. Second of all, it goes against the law of diverse kinds, which is to say, you're not supposed to mix certain kinds of things together, right? You're not supposed to mix vegetables with, at best, mustard seed is like an herb or something like that, right? Or a spice or something. Anyway, you're not supposed to mix those two. You don't put those things in. You keep your garden separate. You sow one thing at a time. And then if you want to sow something else, you put it over there. Separate. Now, it's the same thing. We get this in Leviticus, and we also get it in Deuteronomy. And some of you here are probably going to struggle with this, but you can't wear two different kinds of cloth. So if you're wearing linen and wool, for example, today, you're breaking the law of diverse kinds, you see? Right? It's kind of weird. It's kind of strange to our ears. But the very most generous interpretation of it is this. In the beginning, what was there in the world? Before God stepped out into it, it was chaos, right? And God stepped into the chaos and created order. And so, cleanliness isn't next to godliness, but order is. See, that's the idea. And so, when you do things, you do them in an orderly way. And you keep things straight. And you can hear the echo of that also when you talk about how people are, how people understand other people. So, right? So you have the, for example, that concerning, say, the temple, you have people who, you have the priests who are there, and then you also have male Jews, the sons of Israel, who come. And healthy sons of Israel can come into the temple, right? And then after that, some sons of Israel are, for whatever reason, ritually unclean, and they're not allowed in the same spot, and so they're excluded. But we're keeping everything orderly, right? That's the thing. And the same happens with women, and then it also happens with Samaritans, and then it also happens with Gentiles. Everything is in its place, and you don't mix them up. Because God didn't mix them up, because God likes order. Now, that's the way, at least that's what we, how we view those laws. But here's the thing. Jesus sees that and realizes that, you know what? God has created some order in this world. But we've created a lot of order too. And the order that we created isn't what God intended. So the very simple example of that is, remember the story when Jesus and the Pharisees, they're talking about divorce, right? And Jesus says, what does Moses say about divorce? And they say, well, Moses said we could give a certificate of divorce and divorce a woman. And Jesus says, it's because of your hardness of heart that he gave you that law. But in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, God created male and female, and the two of them should not be separated. Right? What God put together, let no one separate, right? Okay, so this is a way of saying, you know, y'all have created some order here that probably isn't reflective of what God intended at the beginning. And, of course, that's true, because all of this, we get stuck in it too, right? As much as we think we have gone beyond all of these things, we still struggle, right? I mean, let's be honest. We struggle with issues of race, where things are combined and it's like it's a little difficult to, you know, if someone is involved, somebody that we know in our family is involved with someone with people with a person of color, it's hard for us. I mean, we understand that, yeah, we should accept this. We do. But we have been trained to not accept it, frankly, in our culture. Right? It's still very much, we want the kind of order that we want. We've created that kind of order. But it's not what God intends. And so, this parable, I think, addresses that. The parable of the mustard seed. This thing that nobody really wants, and yet, here it comes into our garden, and bang, it blossoms. And the birds of the air come and make nests in it. It becomes this really rich, wonderful thing. So, the mustard seed that I thought of this week in my life was my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Chapman. Mrs. Chapman, the first thing that caught my attention about her on her right hand was that her finger was crooked like this. And I said, "You can't straighten it?" And she said, "No, I can't straighten it." I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, I got hit by a line drive while I was pitching in baseball." Well, I immediately loved her, of course, for that. But what happened was, in sixth grade, we played baseball, and then we played basketball, football, basketball, and then baseball. And she would come out, and, well, first of all, I got to say, we all always picked teams at recess, and it was always boys, never girls, right? This was the rule of diverse kinds, sixth grade style, right? Girls didn't get to play, boys played. So, and then all of a sudden, here comes Mrs. Chapman. Mrs. Chapman, she's a girl. And she was a way better baseball player than any of us. She would pitch, right? And she could always pitch it right down. And if we got a little bit overconfident, she would just fling one right past us. Just to let us know that, yeah, no, you're not as good as you think you are. Well, we loved Mrs. Chapman. And she was wonderful. And she kind of, all of a sudden, when Mrs. Chapman started playing, all of a sudden, Linda Gibbons started playing. My neighbor from down the street, who I really liked, and frankly, she was a way better player than I was, but she hadn't been able to play before, right? So here is this mustard seed of a thing going on, Mrs. Chapman there, and all of a sudden, now, it's the girls and the boys getting to play. This is really great, and I think this is a little bit like, this is like a thin slice of the kingdom of heaven, right? This very strange thing happening, and all of a sudden, wow, things that we never would have experienced before start to experience. We get to see it, right? This is just great. But that's not the end of Mrs. Chapman, because she takes us right to another of these parables, which is the parable of the merchant. Now, a merchant has got all, he's dealing with pearls and everything and all these different things, and he finds a pearl of great price, and he sells everything he has to buy this one pearl. Now, what does that make him? Well, it makes him no longer a merchant, because all of his stock is gone now. He can't buy and sell. He's got this. And he's all in with this pearl. In fact, he's so in that he becomes, in some ways, like totally identified with this pearl. There's really nothing else he can do with it. Do y'all remember the book, The Pearl, by John Steinbeck? Mm-hmm. In that story, what happens is this indigenous guy from Mexico, he's a pearl diver, he finds this beautiful pearl, and he's just like, he becomes obsessed with it, And everybody else becomes obsessed with it, and everybody else gets really greedy and wants to get it from him, and that greed rubs off on this poor native guy, and his life goes miserable. But it's all he's got. He finally recognizes that he's stuck here, and in the end of the story, he throws the pearl back in the ocean. And which is a good move for him, because he's getting consumed by this greed. But in the parable, I would like to suggest, and I got this from a guy named James Allison. He says that the pearl is us. And Jesus gives up everything to be united and to be connected with us. Gives up everything and identifies himself with us. That's amazing. That we are the pearls, not the one who is trying to sell everything to get the pearl, but that you are the pearl of great price. And this is why Mrs. Chapman is so important to this, because if you ask anybody in the sixth grade that year, who is Mrs. Chapman's favorite student? Every single one of us would have said, well, I was. I was her favorite. And everybody else would have said, well, I was. Because she treated us all like that. With this, like we were all of such great value. And that's what this parable, I think, is about. Is that we are the pearl that Jesus is like, yes, and I will give up everything, and I will not cast you away. That's the great thing that Sarah, who was it here? Sarah read, right? That St. Paul is talking about. Now that this has happened, now that Jesus has identified himself with us, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing can separate us from that. We are his. We are the pearl that he is just fascinated with. Can't get enough of. Wants to be with. That's us. Can you let that in? That the God of the universe gives up everything for you. That's not a rhetorical question. Can we let it in? Or is it just really too hard? This is what God has done in Jesus. And Jesus, for his trouble, gets treated like a weed. Right? Like this mustard seed, the scandalous plant, and still it grows and it flourishes because the love of God flourishes, and all kinds of birds, animals, people come to this place and are welcomed in and make a home here. And it doesn't matter what kind it is anymore. The law of diverse kinds is of nothing. God wants all. And will gather us all in. And will celebrate all of us. Thanks be to God for a mustard. Thank you.